Good afternoon and welcome to the Good News Update with Living Compassion. This is Ashwini and I'm filling in for Jen today. The topic for Good News today is related to our practice focus, the cooperative of practice being lit up together. And we're going to look at that with our guest today, who is Rebecca. Rebecca, are you on?
Yeah, hi Ashwini.
Hey. So, Rebecca, while we were talking about the cooperative of practice as the practice focus, we were also looking at it as the year of Sangha. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you can, share with us why we were looking at it that way. What is it? Why is it also the year of Sangha?
Yeah. Well, the year of Sangha really does point right back to this whole idea that we are all in this together, that there's really no, this, a big part of our practice is seeing through the illusion of a separate self, and that we are all really one and walking on this path together. And so no matter where we are in our practice, we belong and we matter, and we're so critically valuable to ours and each other's salvation. How we talk about working out our own salvation diligently, that we're each critical to that process. And so it just seems, kind of a natural link that if we're going to practice being lit up together, that we do that with a focus on what it means to be Sangha.
Mm-hmm. So the together part is that we're practicing together as Sangha. And so, and the being lit up part is that if we are lit up, then we're one with all that is, and therefore we're one with everyone, which means that we belong to each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, were you going to say something more about that?
No, I was just kind of delighting in that idea that we all belong to each other, I think what is coming through so strongly for me as we look at this is that how valuable, how we matter utterly to each other, that nobody can really, rightly believe that their presence or their participation doesn't count.
Uh-huh.
It would be a mistake to believe that, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that the Buddha left us with the teachings with Bodhidharma and Sangha. And so it's almost as important a part of our practice as practicing or the teachings of the practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, living where I do, far away from the monastery and, from that day-to-day presence with the physical Sangha, all of the opportunities that have grown up over the years in our practice to be together long distance, through mm-hmm. through internet and all of the at-home stuff and the phone calls and everything I feel like it has really on many occasions just saved my life. and it's just, Sherry often says it's a miraculous time to be alive, that we have this all available to us.
And maybe, Rebecca, you could sort of articulate for all of us what you see as the benefits of doing this practice together as a Sangha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Sherry said something either on the video conference or in a conference call or somewhere that life has so much to offer us all the time. And that on our, that it takes everybody to receive and to kind of reflect that wisdom or that, peace or whatever, life is giving. It takes us all to reflect that in the world. And so the more we come together in different ways of practicing, the more we are able to receive everything that life is giving us, that's offering us all the time, and the more that we're able to inspire one another to be more and more open to that. Mm-hmm. And I really like the way that we're focusing on a cooperative, we're really, it feels to me about action and, you know, acting together, not, you know, and even sitting is acting together. So it's not necessarily about being busy or any of that. It's about each of us sort of finding where that edge is of practice, where we've sort of been stopped by conditioning, and taking that next step, kind of pushing through that edge, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I really like what you said about the cooperative aspect of it, because I think we also said this a little bit in the workshop, where the active part is that we offer and we receive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not thinking about it as a cooperative, we're often in the mentality of receiving and not offering. And so mm-hmm. what it allows us to do is to step into that place of responsibility where whatever it is that we have to offer, wherever we are as a practice, that's a valuable contribution, and to not let conditioning talk us out of not being in that position of offering.
Yeah. Yeah, because what I find conditioning does anyway to me is real subtly sometimes puts value on this or that. You know, it's more valuable to do this, or it's less valuable to do that. And that is such a false distinction, because really it's the participation that is valuable, no matter what the particular content looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have no idea in what you say in an email class, or what you share in group, or when you show up, how that might be inspirational to someone else who just needed to hear that, or to listen to that, or read that, for them to wake up. And so that ability to show up, as you were saying a little bit ago, is really, really important, because that's how we support each other, by showing up.
Well, and I get to be the beneficiary. So here's an example. So not too long ago, I learned that the daily peace quotes, you know, people kind of haven't been sending them in like we would hope, you know, that people have to kind of go out, and the ones who are organizing the daily peace quotes have to really go out and search for the quotes, and it would be of assistance if Sangha members sent in daily peace quotes. So I noticed after I heard that little piece of information, which, you know, I hadn't really been thinking about that for, you know, months. I enjoy them every morning, but I hadn't really seen myself as a contributor to that. But just after hearing that, I started, whenever I'm looking at greeting cards, or, you know, whenever I'm passing, you know, sometimes even bumper stickers are really nice kind of peace quotes, and I would start making, you know, notes of them, and send them in from time to time. And it's just that, you know, that little nudge of awareness that I can go from being a recipient, I mean, I love daily peace quotes, it's how I start every one of my days, to being a participant in just that really simple way of jotting things down as they occur to me and sending them in. So, mm-hmm. you know, wherever, and you know, and who knows all the many different ways that can be happening. I just hear maybe a little need, or my heart opens a little bit to this, or I'm moved to speak about that, and the ripples just sort of go from there.
Mm-hmm. And then, and the practice The practice focus is encouraging us to look with the spirit of inquiry, not just to be the way we've always been in relationship to practice, but actually question and see if we can change our orientation to be both receivers and transmitters of life, intelligence, wisdom, and compassion.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the really good news about that is it lights me up, because now I'm, you know, for example, looking at those greeting cards with a whole new perspective, you know, a whole new attitude of mind, and that is in itself what seems to be the lighting up quality.
Mm-hmm. And energetically, when we occupy that space, we're not just offering to this practice, but we're offering to life in general, to Sangha that's outside of the Sangha we practice with, that we're available as that love and compassion to everyone we encounter, whether it, you know, even in the greeting card store, somebody mm-hmm. will interact with us energetically in a way they wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, that's really a great point, that it that, you know, we can even say Sangha, and then, you know, in our minds maybe mean people who practice, but it really isn't that, is it? That's even a barrier that's not real. It's Sangha is everyone, everyone we meet, everyone who's on any path. And so that's a really, yeah, neat way to look at it. Our energy just kind of goes where it will, touches who it will, and all of that, and vice versa.
Yeah, so we become sort of like that, you know, it's a Sangha of many, but a Sangha of one.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you wanted to say, Rebecca, about concretely participating or benefits before I make one little announcement and hand the show back to Michael and Sherry?
Yeah, let me see if there is. Well, I guess there's always this little part of me that comes up when asked that question, to just encourage people to watch what's coming down the pipe and jump in, especially when conditioning says not to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, I'll use this as a segue to what I want to announce about our next show. But, you know, we've already started to hear from people how the voices are telling them that they don't belong to this cooperative, that there's a group of special people to whom the cooperative belongs, and they're for some reason not included.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what Sherry would invite everyone to do is to call into to the radio show next week. It's going to be a special radio show, and share with us if that's what the voices are saying, because we want to silence those voices forever and really, really look at how each of us has something important to offer, and each of us it has something to receive from being part of this cooperative, and we all belong, and we want to come from that place of belonging in our practice. And so this is an announcement for our show next week. If you have any voices telling you that you don't belong or that you cannot participate for any reason in this Sangha, call in and share your process with Sherry.
So next week is the Expose the Voices Saying I Don't Belong radio show, right?
That's right. Silence the voices of non-belonging.
Yeah, expose them and silence them. Well, that sounds great.
Well, thanks, Rebecca. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ashwini.
And Michael and Sherry, turning it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was fun.
It was. I'm just grinning like the fool that I am over here. That was really good. That was really good. I mean, they made so many good points that was really good. And I'm very excited. I'm very excited for the show next week, because I hope people really will just gather up all their courage and squeal on those rough voices and get some support for laying them to rest.
Great. Sounds fun. Expose the Voices show.
Yeah. How are you, Michael?
I'm great, and I was just thinking during the Good News Update that this practice is so inclusive. It's like a fundamental quality of it.
Yes.
You know, it brings everybody in, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what the voices are saying, doesn't matter if you started practice yesterday or 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
We welcome you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and the point that Ashwini and Rebecca were making, that we need you. That,
yes.
Rebecca referred to that. It's probably too long to be a quote, but that perspective of life uses each one of us to transmit its intelligence, its wisdom, and compassion. And so we each have to be receiving stations in order for all of us to receive the benefit of all of the wisdom, love, and compassion that's available to us. That was actually Ashwini who came up with that, not me. And so somehow I get credit for these things, which is, I mean, I like it, and then I feel obligated to own up to it when it actually belongs to somebody else. But it really is true, and there isn't any, you know, one of the things that we're, that people who are paying attention to this kind of thing are starting to become aware of is how many species of plants and animals can disappear from this planet before we're in big trouble as sending and receiving stations.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't think about it. We're not required to think about it. But I wish I had the numbers. I don't. But, I mean, huge numbers of species are disappearing every day, and eventually we will very likely pay the big price for that, because everything in life is playing an essential part. So the way that we approach nature, I think, is a direct expression of, or reflection of, the way we're taught to think of ourselves. So I might think that something about me is important in this area, but only because conditioning is saying that's essentially that's important to it.
Yeah.
But what I'm not encouraged to consider is the important role that I play for life as that sending and receiving station. So that's what, of course, we're hoping Sangha really tunes into this year and takes to heart. That it's not just, it'd be nice if I participated. Yeah, it would be great if I showed up for that. But that we really are counting on one another to play the role that only we can play.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It takes all of us. And I have some announcements.
All right.
There's a new retreat offered for the first time this year. The I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It Transcending Resistance Retreat.
I love that.
So get over your resistance to getting to that retreat.
Right. Yeah, that voice that says, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. That's the one. We're looking to put out of business.
Yes. Yes. And that will be offered April 24th through 28th at the monastery. It's based on a new book by you, Sherry, and Ashwini that will be released this spring. Is that coming out soon, Sherry?
Well, we're shooting for mid-April, 1st of May.
Great.
That's our hope. We always hope to get a book out to Sangha before it gets out to everybody else. So
fun.
We'll see. We're working feverishly on that behind the scenes.
Great, great. And at this retreat, we'll explore resistance and practice tools that can move us from resisting life to living fully in awareness of all that is. And we expect it to be very popular, so sign up early if you're interested.
Yeah. It's short, isn't it? Is it like 4 days or something like that?
Yeah, it's Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one of those that we're trying to get on the calendar to accommodate busy lives.
Yes.
But doesn't you? Yeah.
Right.
People can often get away from their lives for 4 days more so than 8 days. So
yes,
we're hoping.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have 2 at-home practice opportunities coming up soon. There's an at-home retreat on February 15th. It's entitled Spring Cleaning Conditioned Cobwebs. The day filled with practice featuring group discussions via conference call and focused exercises. And you can choose something you would like to do, or perhaps you've been putting it off, such as cleaning, baking, getting ready for your spring planting. And you'll work on all of this with the support of Sangha.
Isn't that fun?
That's fun. And then we'll have Guidance Day for monthly donors on February 23rd. Look at anything about your practice one-on-one with an experienced practitioner via phone or Skype. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to see the new schedule or to sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Thank you, Michael.
All righty. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
I'm on the air?
Yes,
you are.
Oh, wow. Hi, my name is David. I'm from Mississippi.
Hi there.
Welcome. How are you?
It sounds like you're new to this whole thing. Is that true?
I'm very new. I'm very, very new.
Good. Well, glad to have you. What's going on?
I've been practicing since, I want to say May of last year, May 1st of last year. And I've only discovered the radio show through the iPhone maybe about a month ago.
Aha.
Uh-huh. I was going to try it. I got the notification that it was starting, and I wanted to try it and talk to you.
And you got just plunged in.
Plunged in, well.
To the whole thing. Good.
Okay. Yeah. I was just, one of the things I noticed that comes up a lot during meditation is I have a lot of money woes. And I guess I'm working to get to a point where I'm able to, support myself so that I can support others.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the job that I'm working in now isn't what I want to be doing, because I kind of feel like it's a lower job. I guess I was trained to be a massage therapist, and I really love massaging because I feel like that gives. Like I heal that way. But I work in a bookstore now, and I can't make enough money to, I guess, get my license renewed and get the job that I want. And I've been in this bookstore for 4 years. So.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you this. Is it a serious no-no for you to offer massage when your license is out of date?
To offer massage one more time?
When your license is not current.
Right, yes, I could get in serious trouble for that.
Okay. Because sometimes, of course, those kinds of things can go together. You know, we don't have to make the sort of wholesale change that conditioning would like us to believe we have to make. In other words, you know, you can work in the bookstore, and then you can do some massage, and then slowly kind of shift to more massage and less bookstore, but it sounds like that might not be an option right now.
Right. I can give to my friends, but if it ever even got out that I was giving to my friends, because it's medicinal, so it's kind of, it would be like if a doctor was practicing without being in a hospital or having a doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
I guess the thing is I get up and I go to work and I do it positively and I respond to my coworkers love me. I feel like I love being around them, because when they're having a miserable day, I'm just like, no, look what we have to be happy for. And they're like, you're right. So in that sense,
that's,
I feel great about it.
Yeah.
But
okay.
But
it's not turning into the money that you need to make this change.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And now you started out talking about meditation, so it sounds like this money stuff is kind of sliding into your meditation.
Of course. I'll be in a great spot in meditation, and it seems like conditioning is like, you know, you're doing this, but you're not making enough money, so what are you going to do? Like, how is this helping you make some money, and, you know, what are you going to do when you're just going to go to the bookstore tomorrow, so... You know, how is this helping you get out of the bookstore situation?
So, and I'm guessing that you've done enough practice that you realize those are two really separate issues, right? That this is a piece of content that the voices of karmic conditioning, self-hate, can use to distract you from meditation.
Right, right.
And I think you also realize that when your money woes are behind you, the voices will come up with whatever the next thing is that you'll be willing to believe so that they can distract you from meditating.
Right.
Yeah, you do know that, don't you?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a piece of really compelling content right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So one of the things that you could do, and this is the kind of discipline that practice requires, is simply to say, I will not attend to any conversation about anything while I'm meditating.
Right.
Okay. And then you kind of draw the line. and the voices will go crazy trying to get you to attend to them. But the good news about setting something like that up is that each time they talk to you, it can remind you to come back to the breath, to come back to your counting, what you're practicing in your sitting. So rather than being a distraction, they become a reminder to recommit to being present.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's good?
That's very good. Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. Now, the next piece of it, of course, is that as that happens, and as you're able to be more and more present and at choice about where your attention is, what you're going to start seeing is the way we talk about it, life dropping in insight for you, right? So what you want to be open to is how all of this is going to work. So yes, you're working in the bookstore. That's not affording you what you need to get to renew your license and make this move. But how that's going to happen for you is going to drop in.
Right.
And what will happen when it drops in, of course, is tremendous resistance from the voices, because life always gives us insight that works to accomplish what is best for us.
Hi.
You with me?
I'm with you.
Yeah. So now when that happens, of course, I want you to call me back and tell me.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
Now, if it doesn't happen for a little while, because sometimes it doesn't, it happens when, you know, everything in life moves around and it all gets going in the right direction for it to open up, you're welcome to call back anytime.
Right. Oh, well, definitely will. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Glad to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, David. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software, for Macs and iPhones and iPads, and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Talk Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Hi.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Walter, and I am from Liberal, Kansas.
Hey, Walter.
Hi, I think...
We have another caller, Sherry. Say it again?
I'm sorry, I kind of got frozen there. Well, I believe I came upon this app that introduced me to this talk show, and I've been very interested in listening about your teachings and things like that, and you know what you guys explain. I would just want to know where I could start in the process of, you know, this whole I explained
this whole adventure.
Yes, there you go.
All right. Well, you have started, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So here, because here you are. Are you a meditator at all?
I've tried, but not faithfully.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that, you know, that's the story all of us could tell. The only thing that rivals starting a meditation practice is quitting smoking for starts and stops. So that's to be expected. And so have you been listening to the show for a little while?
Yes, I have, on and off, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, we do everything on and off. That's what happens. In fact, we're doing an email class now, and a lot of the people in the email class are old-timers, have been doing practice for a while. And that's what they talk about, you know, that so I'm here, I'm gone, I'm here, I'm gone. I'm paying attention, I'm lost in conditioning. I'm right here in tune with life, I'm lost listening to the voices. So, of course, you know, listening to the archives of the show can be a helpful sort of introduction, because that's what we're talking about all the time is practice and how we do practice and what we do and all of that. We have just endless support tools, everything from, you know, books and CDs and that sort of thing to, as Michael was mentioning at the beginning of the show, you know, we have at-home retreats where people are connected via Skype, usually, or the phone, and practice together. You know, you're practicing at home, but you're all together as you're doing that. On a conference call or whatever. Then, of course, you know, we offer retreats and workshops.
Great.
And that sort of. So, you know, there's just, you can just get all the support you want and take your time getting it.
That's great. And I had a quick question also about meditating. I've read up on it, and there's this one thing that I came upon. This gentleman was actually commenting that meditation perhaps is not the right way to go at some things. I guess it can open portals towards like spiritual attacks and things like that. How do you guys feel about that? Is that true?
You know, what we are doing in this practice is learning to pay attention. So there are, you know, there are as many approaches to, and I'm making those little marks in the sky for quotes, to meditation as I would say as there are people. So I know that there are certain religions that believe meditation will open you up to the devil. You know, certainly not my experience, or if it's happened, I don't know it, which is a little joke, Walter. So, I don't think it's dangerous at all. I think that the thing that is probably most dangerous for people is not being able to pay attention. That puts a human being in grave danger because if we can't pay attention to how things work, then we really are in the grip of what we call egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate. And that's, you know, an unexamined recording in the head that says who you are and what's true and what's real and what you should think and how you should act and what's wrong with you and what's wrong with everybody. And, you know, and it just goes. It's just this conversation that goes in people's heads, and it's just hogwash. You know, it's just a bunch of stuff that got dumped in there. And until we examine it, really pay attention to it and see, you know, is that true? Why am I believing that? Well, when I do that, then that happens, and I don't want that result. If we don't do that kind of self-scrutiny, then we have no hope of doing anything except being a, you know, a little... one of those critters that get on treadmills and little gerbil creatures.
Yeah, yeah.
And just going around and around and around until we die.
Yeah.
So I'm a big supporter of waking up and seeing, questioning everything, finding out, and finding freedom through that ability to just not believe a bunch of hogwash that we've been taught is true.
That's crazy. I mean, I'm free to explain it like that in that way. I mean, because I have felt, you know, like I'm spiritually, I am kind of changing. Definitely, I am starting and trying to become more, one, a better person, and you know, actually waking up to all that. Like you're mentioning hogwash, and you know.
Yeah.
I guess I'm on the right path. That's great.
And of course, you know, it's good to find somebody that you feel like you can trust to guide you. Because, again, those voices in our head, you know, will just have you spend a lifetime going from thing to thing to thing to thing and questioning and what about that and what. So, you know, if you're drawn to something, you know, if you have kind of a more Christian orientation, you know, then find that group of people that you really resonate with. Find somebody who seems intelligent and sensible and that sort of thing, and then learn from them. Let that person mentor you until you feel like you're in a place where you can trust the intelligence that's animating you, and you can discern what is the intelligence that's animating you and what's the hogwash. That's the main thing that we're doing in awareness practice. That's the first giant step. Who am I listening to? What am I following? And so then if you're drawn to an Eastern philosophy, again, go, you know, read enough, introduce yourself to enough things that you find the something that you resonate with, and then stick with it. For long enough that it's okay that you stick with it for the rest of your life. You know, it's like a relationship. When you're in a relationship and you get to the point where you know, I could do this happily for the rest of my life, then you're ready to consider leaving if that's what you want to do. But if the voices are saying you've got to get out of here, you've got to quit this, this is not good for you, this is blah 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 blah, you want to stick around until you're no longer influenced by their yammering.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by voices, are you talking about consciously or perhaps even, you know, like the spiritual voices around or what?
The voices in your head, the ones. So, for instance, you just said you're interested in becoming a better person. Okay. There, you're going to start hearing, if that's your goal, you're going to start hearing the voices in your head who are going to now tell you whether you are being a good person or you're not and where that fit into that category. And here's the big thing to listen for. Are the voices saying I or are they saying you? So you'll start hearing voices in your head that say, well, you should do this, or you shouldn't do that, or, well, that you're not being very spiritual there, or okay, those are what we call the voices, in quote.
Okay,
and they are the voices of hogwash.
Okay,
they're the programming, the brainwashing that has happened to you, and that if not examined and jettisoned, will control your life for the rest of your life.
I see. I understand. And does this also fall? I mean, do you believe this also falls within the whole like conspiracy theory?
No. I no. But here's the book of ours that I would recommend for you to read, and it's the whole title is "Regardless of What You Were Taught to Believe, There's Nothing Wrong with You." So start with that one, give that one a look, and then give me a call back and tell me what you've seen.
Absolutely, great. Thank you very much. I'm really happy I found you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Walter.
Wow, two new fellows in a row.
Yes.
That app is out there doing its work, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Very fun.
Yes, it is. And we have another caller here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Next caller.
Oh, they're there, don't we?
We can hear you. Okay.
Moving right along. That could have been a new person who suddenly, like David, was plunged into a show that they didn't intend to participate in.
Yes.
Glad he was plunged.
And next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
What's going on?
Well, I just had an interesting couple of days, and if it wasn't for practice, I don't know, I'd probably be upside down.
Uh-huh. Interesting as a euphemism for a lot of more charged words, perhaps?
Yeah, I had a, I'm going to switch to another phone here. Okay. I had
Before you sound better now.
Okay. I had a visit with the doctor who gave me a certain diagnosis, and I had to just take that all in and look to my own experience, and in the past, you've said things like, well, you know, we go to these people and they give us information, and then we have to see what's true for us. And so I spent quite a bit of time. There was just so much going on. I felt really unmoored by the whole thing. You know, I couldn't get to center. I didn't have any ground under my feet. There was a lot of different opinions in my head about what she was saying. And it took a few days to really get some distance from it. And in that time, I felt like I kind of got turned inside out, and I was just questioning, well, are you just resisting what she's saying? Is this just your conditioning being uncomfortable? Or do you really need to, you know, find your own way with this information?
And was there a sense of pressure about that?
Well, that was one of my clues. There was some urgency.
Yeah, you got to do this now.
Yeah, I had to do it. I had to do it all. I had to do everything she said, and I had to do it right now.
Or you had to figure out if this is resistance or if this is right for you, and you need to know that now.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so it took about 4 days of just going through all kinds of different emotions about it, different parts of me weighing in. You know, somebody was willing to do it and started buying all the right food. And then, you know, I started to feel worse. And so somebody was, you know, it just kind of went around and around. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for practice because I could, you know, I could take it in. I didn't have a lot of distance from it at first. I gradually got more distance as I realized some of these conditioned behaviors that were just not helpful. You know, that was that I was doing a lot of those things that you just said. And finally, I just said, you know what? It took you, I mean, I had already, with the benefit of some insight dropping in before I went to the doctor, I had realized there was one thing I was eating that was causing me a lot of problems. And I had stopped eating that and seen an improvement. And so I had some direct experience that, yeah, there was a problem and there might be more problems, but I've already addressed one and it's going to take a while for that to get out of my system and for me to feel better. So it's just been just another process of something that I put in into a bigger picture, which I thought was helpful to me to see, was just my constant need to figure it out and to fix it and to have something to do that's going to make it better,
yeah,
instead of time and attention and awareness.
You know, Greta, what you're saying, I just wish everybody in the world could get there. I wish that when something happens with us, our knee-jerk reaction would be, wow, I need to get really quiet. I need to get really calm and really quiet and centered and present so that all of the information that life has to give me can get through. Of course, what we're conditioned to do is go crazy in exactly the ways that you've described. You know, I need to do something. I need to get hysterical. I need to get urgent. I need to fix this. This is awful.
Yeah. And in the, I feel grounded in the practice and the teachings and having the benefit of listening to the archives and hearing you talk to lots of different people, including myself, but and being able to finally kind of get a little more centered and start to realize that I do know what's true for me and I can take the time. I mean, there isn't any urgency. If I was, you know, if I was on death's door, that might be one thing, but I'm not. I'm just uncomfortable. So why not take the time to just see what's actually so?
Yeah.
And when I stepped back, you know, there were so many pieces of where I was being, you know, how I was being driven in one direction. So many pieces of that have tripped me up so many other times. So I could just see that karma, you know, playing itself out. And that's finally when I calmed down a few nights later. I was recording and listening about it, and it just came right out of my mouth that, you know what, this is the exact same process with the pain, and now it's going to be with the food. So don't fall for it.
Don't buy that. So I was just in a situation with somebody who was, you know, in that kind of medical place, and being hit with, well, you know, it could be this, and if that, then you would want to do this, and that could happen, and then we would definitely want to do this, and it's a surgery situation, so that, you know, it's everything that's going to be removed, depending on what we find out, and there is that urgency. It's like, you know, you could have something, and if you do, then we have to just get frantic to deal with it. And fortunately, this person is a practitioner and able to look at it and be really clear about, well, I'm willing to do that, and under those circumstances, I would want this to happen, And watching people in that, on the other side of that conversation, try to come to grips with somebody who doesn't just automatically get hysterical and get on board. And, you know, having to go through it over and over and over. Well, no, I wouldn't. No. And then, part of the medical team left, and this one surgeon stayed behind and said, you know, it is so wonderful to talk with somebody who is clear about what they want and what they're willing for. She said, there are so many people who get started down the road of chemotherapy, and then they just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it because they don't know what else to do. And it was obvious that she really suffers over that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, when the doctor was telling me all of this, I said, well, you know, if we can go do this, then that would be informational. And she looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that would be good information to have if we went that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, then she actually gave me the information that there, if I went in that particular path, it was irretrievable. So we actually ended up coming up with kind of a middle way path, but even that wasn't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, okay, well, we can just stop right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to, this is just another life lesson for me, and it's just great to be reminded that we can just stop.
Yes.
There's no requirement to do anything from that frantic, urgent place, because
yeah.
at least we can tell that that's not helpful.
Yeah. And the thing that we finally were able to discuss with this one person is there are worse things than dying. And that is incomprehensible to almost everyone, except healthcare professionals who have watched people take that other road and turned what they have of life into a barely living hell.
Right, right. Well, you know, it occurs to me that that's just a place we're all going at some point, and it's great to have the support of Sangha to, you know, fall back on and to help us learn how to take care of ourselves in these difficult situations.
Yeah, because the only choice we have, as we are fond of pointing out, is how we do it.
Yeah.
We do it, yeah, we're going to. And so the what we're facing in that kind of situation is what we're facing every day. It's just that every day we can pretend that we're not. And get to a place where we can't pretend any longer, and we have to really face what's going on. And, of course, you know, if we face it sooner rather than later, we have a lot more time in life to really enjoy. Because when we are living in fear and denial and resistance with karmic conditioning, we're not fully alive. So to face that and let it go, then whatever time we have, we can be fully present and alive in life.
Yeah, so I'll put in a plug for the fear book too, because that's what I have been working with, and it's been really helpful in this regard also.
Good, good. I'm so glad.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for
Deep
checking
gratitude
in.
To
yeah.
both of you.
Yeah, keep us posted, huh?
Okay,
all
good
right.
night.
Thanks, Greta. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, that was fascinating.
Mm. Yeah.
Oof. It's the looking to an authority outside of myself.
Yeah. And you know, the interesting part, now, you know, we must never, ever lose sight of the fact, and I do think that this is a fact, that everybody is doing the best that they can do. But if we look at the content of our own process, as we were talking about earlier, you know, we're identified. Then our head is above water for a little bit, and we have some clarity, and then we go back under into conditioning again. Why we project conscious clarity onto other people is beyond me, right? I mean, we're kind of devoted to waking up and living in awareness, and we know what a struggle it is. So how does a degree in something or years of experience in a particular field, why would we think that person is doing a process any different from the process that we're doing? So, yes, we do want to be respectful, and we want to learn everything we can from everybody because, again, as we were talking about earlier, everybody's bringing a piece of the puzzle, right? And we want to hear from every person. But to turn our lives over to somebody because they have initials behind their name or because they got trained at that, whatever it is, and they're an expert in that field, that's madness.
It is. Yes.
And it's, you know, it's, I don't know if other people projected onto what Greta is saying, but it's really interesting to take responsibility for your own life. It's really interesting to learn all of the things that that we're required to learn to be really in tune and in touch with ourselves so that we can support ourselves in living the healthiest, fittest, most conscious, present, aware life we can have. It's fun. It's exciting.
Yes.
Beats the heck out of living in fear and then just turning ourselves over to somebody and hoping to God that whatever they come up with is not going to make us worse.
Right. 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 I have to share a little medical story myself. It was a couple of years ago, and I think it was time for a tetanus booster or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, let me wait and do a little research on that. And the look on his face was, you know, of shock. And, you know, I'm sure it's legitimate, and I think I got it eventually, but I just wanted to find out for myself what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying I shouldn't do it. I'm not saying you're not going to give a fine shot. I'm not saying you're not perfectly right. I just want to inform myself.
Yeah.
So that we're working together on this, because yeah. I'm not just a body that, you know, gets turned over to somebody else. I need us to work together on this.
Yes. Yes. Great.
Good.
And we're going to break for an important message, and we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night. Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary Jane.
Well, hello, Mary Jane. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I can't. This is just such a classic story. I can't. I'm so glad that I've been calling. I've called many times over the last few months, and I just haven't gotten on.
Uh-huh.
And today there was some little story. You know when you hear a story and you kind of know it's a story, but I don't know. Then there's someone else who wants to listen to it.
And it's kind of believable.
And yeah, yeah. And like, well, because it's a little bit nerve-wracking to listen to the show, trying to get on the show, because you're wondering if you're going to get on.
Yeah. Am I the next one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was just listening through the application, and then I just said, you know what, this is just, I can't listen to this voice, and I'm just going to call the show, even though it's 15 minutes before the end, and just see, you know.
We are taken care of, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. I think that's kind of I think I'm getting that gift right now, because just, when I was really struggling, I kept trying to call and I wasn't able to get on. And now, right now, I don't even know what to talk about. But I like that idea of, you know, I have some uncertainties right now, and just how to rest in that trusting of things work out and that life is on our side. And
yeah. And that life is a whole lot wiser than we are.
Exactly.
All the time. I think that this is true for all of us. You know, we look back on our lives and think, oh, glad that didn't go the way I thought I wanted it to go. No?
Yeah, it's
we're
true.
We're just so sure that this is what I want. And often we get what we think we want, and then we get to find out that, in fact, it wasn't. And we learn
a lot.
Yeah,
that's a hard one, yeah.
We learn a lot in the process. But those times when we were kind of saved from ourselves, they're compelling evidence.
Yeah, and I've had it a few times. You know, I've had that a few times. And just, you know, right now I'm doing the email class, so kind of looking at, I don't know if I can mention the reference to the assignment or not, but
be oblique or vague or whatever.
Okay. Well, just looking at, you know, what are those patterns that really keep getting you, and that, you know, we look at, keep peeling away layers and layers, and the latest one I've been looking at is, I did it wrong. Like, I did something wrong, and so now I must suffer because I didn't listen to life in the past or something. And so your life isn't going the way you want it to. Anyway, it's maybe convoluted. You know, underneath is there something wrong with your life?
I would love to speak to that, because, that's under, you know, big areas of horse pucky. That's one of them, right? I mean, the amount of time that people are made to suffer over the past.
Mm.
You know, I mean, and truly, I mean, you know, just a little quarter step back, and we can see that it's just ridiculous.
Mm.
Right? Because, okay, so you did something, you know, you really took a bad turn somewhere. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Great. You know? Now, of course, we know that it was not possible for you to do anything else, because there is no parallel reality in which you took the other fork in that road.
Yeah.
But let's say, you know, you
where everything worked out.
Yeah. You know, you were 15 minutes away from that PhD that would have given you that fabulous job, and now you would be rich and famous, but you're twin sister got that instead, you know. Okay, we can all say, boy, if you just hung in there, yeah, that probably was a big mistake. Okay, good. Now what? Now what? I mean, it there is nothing to do with that except feel bad. You can't fix it. You can't change it. You can't even learn from it, because it's never going to happen again. There's nothing to be done with it. And yet people are convinced that going back and suffering over it is somehow accomplishing something. And of course, it is accomplishing something for karmic conditioning, right?
Yeah.
It keeps us out of the present. It makes us feel bad. We suffer. you know, we give it another meal. But it's just one of those that, gosh, I wish, you know, in my pursuit of opening the tops of heads and making those little tiny adjustments with my giant screwdriver, that would be one of the ones that I'd like to tighten down on everybody. It's like, good, it happened, great, forget it, never think about it again.
And part of what I'm seeing as I hear you is that it's the really where I can get stuck, or maybe people get stuck, is the ego or the identities who really are unhappy with how things are right now. And
yeah.
And how to kind
somebody.
Of really be with what is in a more neutral state, rather than, you know, because there are some circumstances that can be more challenging sometimes than others.
Well, the thing about it is, it's, you know, it's where we start out. Well, I don't know where this is leading.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea. So, you know, I'm only going to know at the end. What,
and I might not even know then. I mean, sometimes we don't know for you know, ever, really.
Right. But that's the best chance I'm going to have is, you know, well, I did take that job, and actually what came out of that was that, and that, yeah, and or I didn't get that one, and then that happened, and that, you know, with time, often we have a little bit of perspective. But when we're right in the middle of it, we don't know what's going on. We have no idea. And so that trust that you mentioned is really the critical thing for us to build. I don't know. My experience is that life takes good care of me. Why
wouldn't it now?
Why is it going to go south now?
Especially when it takes care of us in spite of ourselves a lot of the
time. Exactly.
So.
Exactly so. Yeah. So that's probably, you know, the best we can do. Because it's unlikely, actually, that anything that's grousing about what's going on now is authentic.
Okay.
Right? So it's not the heart that grouses. It's not that grouses. It's not your true nature that grouses about life, because your true nature is life. So it's something that is experiencing itself as outside of life. And we know that what experiences itself as outside of life always grouses. Therefore, we don't really worry too much about their grousing. It's just like, your gut. It's like, you know, what we were talking about before. Yeah, so there are money issues now, and so that's the thing that I'll bite on. You know, that's where I'll get distracted. Or now it's a relationship something. So that's what's up. So, yeah, I'll get distracted and worry about that. Or it's health. Or it's whatever it is. But grousers over there are always looking for the thing that we'll buy into and go along with.
But if I can use that to every grouse says, oh, thank you for reminding me.
That's right.
That life takes care of me.
That's right. Oh, I don't want to live with grouses.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm really glad I got through, and just support everyone out there who has called and hasn't got on the show. So just
hang in.
Trust the process.
All right. Thanks. Really,
okay. Thanks a lot.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And it's 6 o'clock, Sherry.
Wow. And do you know, Michael, it just did get dark.
Yes.
There is hope.
Yeah.
We have hope of making it through these short days and into long, sunny, warm days again.
Yeah.
And possibly, for those of us living where we live, there will be some rain along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, we
but
could use
those
that.
Longer days, oh, how my heart sings.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Just like this radio show.
That's it. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.